Tonight, the summer scramble to stop the spread of the coronavirus before it's too late. Setbacks across America. Infections climb in 38 states. More than 40% of the country either stopping or reversing their reopening plans just before the 4th of July holiday. California's governor ordering new shutdowns. Bars and restaurants in the largest counties must stop indoor seating. In Texas, the single biggest surge in a day. More than 8,000 cases. Vice President Mike Pence arriving in hard-hit Arizona wearing a mask. And tonight, President Trump and what he's now saying about wearing a mask in public and why he still believes the virus will just, quote, disappear. Promising news tonight in the race for a vaccine. The human trial showing encouraging signs. Companies hoping to have one vaccine ready by the end of the year. And what it will take to convince Americans the vaccine is safe. Also tonight, President Trump taking on New York City's plan for a Black Lives Matter mural on Fifth Avenue right in front of Trump Tower. The president calling Black Lives Matter a symbol of hate. Major developments in the search for that missing soldier from Fort Hood. One day after discovering human remains, authorities say one suspect is in custody, the other took his life as authorities closed in. Tonight, the emotional plea from the soldier's family. Flash flood warnings in effect tonight in parts of seven states and the extreme holiday heat from Texas to the Northeast. Rob Marciano standing by. New images tonight as police take back the occupied protest zone in Seattle. Officers moving in, dozens arrested. Plus the pictures just coming in, a building collapse in New York City. Firefighters combing through the rubble. And the wedding photo disaster, the couple trying to capture the perfect moment when they are suddenly swept out to sea, the lifeguards that jumped into action.
This is ABC World News Tonight with David Muir.
And good evening. Thanks for joining us on a Wednesday night. I'm Tom Yamas, in for David. And we begin tonight with major setbacks across America in slowing the spread of the coronavirus. 38 states now showing a rise in COVID-19 cases. And as we come on the air, more than 40% of the country has either halted or reversed reopening plans just days before the 4th of July. California reporting more than 9,700 new cases today. Governor Gavin Newsom now ordering new restrictions on bars, restaurants, and other businesses affecting 70% of the state's population. Hospitals in California's Riverside County with ICU beds now at 90% capacity. More than two dozen states with an increase in hospitalizations. Arizona reporting another record high jump as Vice President Mike Pence, wearing a mask, you see it there, arrives in Phoenix today. And New York Governor Andrew Cuomo putting phase three of reopening on hold in New York City, including no indoor dining, warning he sees storm clouds on the horizon. The state now worried about a new cluster of cases linked to a house party outside of the city. ABC's chief national correspondent Matt Gutman leads us off tonight.
Tonight, with cases in California nearing a quarter of a million, the governor closing down parts of the state and enforcing it.
We have, I think, a responsibility at the same time to go after people that are thumbing their nose. Bottom line is the spread of this virus continues at a rate that is particularly concerning.
Effective immediately, bars, indoor dining, museums, wineries, movie theaters shut down in 19 counties, including Los Angeles. And a grim new milestone in California, nearly 10,000 cases in just 24 hours. In Riverside County, where ICUs are at 90% capacity, nurses on a 10-day strike, demanding more staff and PPE. And so many of the nurses here have lost patients to COVID.
With a matter of hours, they're gone.
You've got to act fast, and you need to have the proper staff to help out. Yeah.
The hospital says it follows CDC guidelines, but COVID has killed two of its staff, including Sally Lara, a 62-year-old grandmother of eight who came out of retirement to work through the pandemic.
We've known these people. We spend holidays with them. You know, we spend birthdays with them. And it's hard. It's hard. We want to do the job that we signed up for.
Across 25 states, hospitalizations increasing. In Florida, more than half the patients are under 35. This college student got COVID after a night out with friends.
We sit at a table, like just us, like we'll be fine, like we'll get a drink. To my fellow college students or anybody around our age, my best way to put it is it's not worth it. stay home.
Today, a record 8,000 cases in Texas. The state resisted locking down, then reopened quickly, something Dr. Anthony Fauci has consistently warned against. But the lieutenant governor now downplaying the state's 2,400 deaths and instead targeting Fauci.
He has been wrong every time on every issue. I don't need his advice anymore. We'll listen to a lot of science, we'll listen to a lot of doctors, and Governor Abbott, myself, and other state leaders will make the decision. No thank you, Dr. Fauci.
First temperature check. We get our temperatures checked about 3 times a day.
But at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, where they've had to open a third COVID area, one doctor telling our Marcus Moore he's facing agonizing decisions.
Now I'm having to choose and have conversations about which patients I'm supposed to take care of. Which patients I can't take care of because I got to take care of other patients. I can't even believe I'm having that conversation.
At least 20 states are now pausing or rolling back reopening. New York City slamming the brakes on plans for indoor dining next week.
Even a week ago, honestly, I was hopeful we could, but the news we have gotten from around the country gets worse and worse all the time.
And just outside the city, a cluster of at least 8 cases linked to a house party. Mainly young adults in their 20s, some of them facing $2,000 fines after contact tracers got these kinds of responses.
I don't have to speak with you. Don't call me again. I will not tell you anything.
All right, Matt Gutman joins us now live from Burbank. And Matt, we just heard in your report about those new restrictions in California involving places like bars and restaurants. We know those businesses have been so hard hit, but you have some new reporting tonight that the state will be using strike teams to enforce those renewed measures?
That's right, Tom. I'm told that the governor is going to reprioritize aggressive enforcement. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to see squads of armed cops patrolling the streets of Los Angeles, but what you are going to see is a much more coordinated effort by California agencies, the California Highway Patrol, the Department of Consumer Affairs, and they're going to go after businesses flaunting the new laws, possibly taking away their licenses. They are also going to go after non-compliant counties, possibly stripping them of billions of dollars in state funding. Tom,
the situation getting more and more serious every day as we hear those sirens behind you. All right, Matt, thank you. News tonight in the race for a vaccine, Pfizer and Moderna showing positive results. More than a dozen potential vaccines around the world now in human trials. Companies racing to have a vaccine by the end of the year at the earliest. And doctors are now worried once they have a vaccine, how do they convince millions of Americans it's safe? Here's ABC's Eva Pilgrim.
Tonight, new hope in the urgent race for a coronavirus vaccine. Pfizer today announcing promising results from early trials.
Our first vaccine candidate is eliciting antibody levels to neutralize the virus that is equivalent to or better than what you see in people who have had COVID-19.
The World Health Organization's latest report shows 17 potential vaccines in human trials, 132 in preclinical phases. The front runners, according to the WHO, Oxford AstraZeneca in the UK, CanSino in China, and Moderna here in the US. Oxford, the furthest along, now in phase 3, enlisting more than 10,000 volunteers. If found to be safe and effective, emergency doses of Oxford's vaccine could be ready by October. In China, CanSino given the green light for military use. And here in the U.S., biotech company Moderna is set to begin phase 3 human trials in collaboration with the National Institute of Health this month with 30,000 volunteers. If successful, hoping to have doses ready by early 2021. While the progress so far looks promising, success isn't a guarantee. And experts warn the vaccines themselves aren't the only issue.
Developing safe and effective vaccines isn't the only challenge. We need to have enough supply and potentially hundreds of millions of Americans willing to get vaccinated in order to achieve herd immunity.
And doctors say it's key for companies to test large numbers of people, both old and young, to prove the vaccine is safe and effective.
If we sort of cut corners on those things, I don't think we're going to create the confidence people need. So I think we can get there, but we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to do it right.
And the FDA has said if researchers can show that a vaccine is safe and at least 50% effective, they will likely approve it for use. Tom.
Eva Pilgrim for us tonight. Eva, thank you. Next tonight, President Trump making news for what he's now saying about masks. The president now says he would have no problem wearing a mask in certain situations. And one day after dire predictions from America's top health experts, The president says he believes the virus will one day disappear. Here's ABC's chief White House correspondent Jonathan Carl.
A day after Dr. Anthony Fauci warned the U.S. could soon see 100,000 new coronavirus cases a day, President Trump predicted the virus will soon, quote, sort of just disappear.
I think we're going to be very good with the coronavirus. I think that at some point that's going to sort of just disappear, I hope.
You still believe so? Disappear?
Well, I do. Yeah, sure, at some point.
Republican leaders in Congress are now joining the chorus of voices urging the president to set an example by wearing a mask. But he has recently suggested wearing a mask is politically incorrect, calling it a, quote, double-edged sword. Today, he was asked about it in an interview with Fox Business.
I'm all for masks. I think masks are good. I would wear, if I were in a group of people and I was close.
You would wear one?
Oh, I would. Oh, I have. I mean, people have seen me wearing one.
Do you think the public will see that at some point?
Oh, I have no problem with that. I think, and if people feel good about it, they should do it.
As new infections have surged across much of the country, the president has largely stayed silent on the pandemic, instead using his Twitter feed to defend Confederate monuments and sending racially divisive messages. Today, he blasted a plan by the mayor of New York to paint the words Black Lives Matter on Fifth Avenue in front of Trump Tower.
Maybe seeing it outside his doorstep will help him get the point.
The president hit back in a tweet calling Black Lives Matter a, quote, symbol of hate. The president also spoke today on reports of intelligence indicating the Russian government paid bounties for the deaths of U.S. troops in Afghanistan.
From what I hear, and I hear it pretty good, the intelligence people didn't even, many of them didn't believe it happened at all. I think it's a hoax.
But his own national security team is not calling it a hoax. And neither are Republicans in Congress.
All right, John Carl joins us now from the White House. So, John, we just heard it there. The president says he thinks this is all a hoax, but that's not what his advisors are telling you?
None of his advisors are saying that. In fact, the White House press secretary this afternoon said the intelligence is still currently being assessed. And tomorrow, the top congressional leaders will be briefed by the president's national security team, including the director of the CIA, the director of the NSA. Tom, it is unlikely that those officials will be briefing the top congressional leadership about a, quote, hoax.
Jonathan Carl for us tonight. John, thank you for that. Another big story we're following here, the mystery disappearance of an Army soldier from Fort Hood, Texas. One day after finding human remains, authorities with two suspects, including a soldier who took his own life as police closed in. Here's ABC's Adrian Banker.
Tonight, the heartbroken family of Fort Hood soldier Vanessa Guillen demanding justice for the 20-year-old who's been missing since April.
And I want justice! And I want answers! My family does not deserve this! Vanessa Guillen did not deserve this.
The Army reveals one military suspect in Guillen's disappearance, a junior soldier also from Fort Hood, killed himself early this morning as authorities were closing in.
As officers attempted to make contact with the suspect, he produced a weapon and committed suicide by shooting himself.
The Army also arresting a second suspect, a civilian woman and estranged wife of a former soldier. And the military is not yet releasing the names of those suspects. Also, identification is still pending on the partial human remains found in Bell County, Texas on Tuesday. But today at a news conference in Washington, D.C., Guillen's distraught family is adamant that the remains belong to Guillen, who was last seen in a Fort Hood parking lot on April 22nd.
It's not confirmed yet whether it's my sister or not, but at this point, everything points to it.
They say before she went missing, Guillen told them she had been sexually harassed by a superior, but didn't report the incident out of fear of retribution. The Army said it's investigating those claims. Guillen's family criticizing the Army for taking too long to act on her disappearance.
She signed that contract with the Army to protect and serve the country. Yet look how they treated her. Like if it was she was nothing.
And Tom, new tonight, we know the Army is sending an inspection team to examine Fort Hood's current program for preventing sexual harassment and assault. Tom.
Adrian Banker on an incredibly sad story tonight. All right, Adrian, thank you. And news tonight about the investigation into the police-related death of Elijah McClain in Aurora, Colorado. The FBI and U.S. attorneys say they've been reviewing this case for a possible federal civil rights investigation since last year. McClain, confronted by police while walking home last August, officers placing him in a neck hold. He died a few days later. Authorities also looking into reports of other Aurora officers that they later took photos reenacting the hold used on McClain. We move on now to the police crackdown in Seattle. Officers today clearing out the CHOP zone, arresting dozens of protesters occupying the area for weeks. And in New York City, officers moving in on demonstrators calling to defund the police. Here's ABC's Janae Norman.
Oh my God. Tonight, officers in riot gear swarming Seattle's occupied protest zone. Clashing with protesters as they cleared out tents, arresting more than 30 people. More than 3 weeks after protesters seized the six-block area. Police reclaiming their precinct in the area that saw crime skyrocket by more than 500% and two teens fatally shot. Protesters blocking police from responding to at least one of those deadly incidents.
Our job is to support peaceful demonstrations, but what has happened here on these streets is lawless and it's brutal. And bottom line, it is simply unacceptable.
Across the country, police in New York City moving in on demonstrators calling to defund the police. Captured in this DailyMail.com video, those protesters camped out by City Hall for more than a week. Hours earlier, the city's council voting to slash the NYPD's budget by $1 billion.
I wanted us to go deeper. I wanted us to take larger headcount reductions. I wanted a true hiring freeze. This is the beginning.
But the shootings in the city up by 40% from this time last year. The NYPD commissioner warning this is not the answer.
The city council bowed to mob rule. And let's mark the date on the calendar and how long it's going to be before we're having a conversation about New Yorkers crying out for more police.
And Tom, you can still see this whole encampment behind me where protesters continue to gather. And despite this crowd, many have actually taken off after reaching their primary goal of seeing the NYPD's budget cut by $1 billion. Tom?
Okay, Janae, thank you for that. Next tonight, sweeping changes in Richmond, Virginia, once the capital of the Confederacy. The mayor using his emergency powers to order the immediate removal of all Confederate statues on city grounds. Hundreds cheering as a crew took down the statue of General Stonewall Jackson. And Columbus, Ohio today, removing the statue of Christopher Columbus from City Hall, the man the city was named after. And history today in Jackson, Mississippi, a crowd gathering to watch as the state flag was lowered from the Capitol for the last time. Just yesterday, Governor Tate Reeves signed the bill retiring the flag that featured the Confederate emblem. The state resisted the move for years until the police killing of George Floyd and the protests that followed. And when we come back, the extreme weather heading into the holiday, flash flood watches from Mississippi to Missouri. As 4th of July heat wave sets in, Rob Marciano standing by.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Extreme weather heading into the holiday weekend, a flash flood emergency in parts of Mississippi and Tennessee this morning, with flood watches tonight all the way into Missouri. At the same time, a 4th of July heat wave is settling in for millions. Let's get right to ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. Rob, good evening.
Good evening, Tom. Another day of summer severe weather, widespread. Like, take a look at the radar from Maine all the way to Mississippi, deep into Texas. We've got some thunderstorms that have produced some big winds, 60 miles per hour in Virginia, and that line moving through Tennessee. That's got some heavy rain, flooding rain with it. Where it's not raining, it's hot. We've got warnings in Tulsa and advisories from Dallas to Shreveport to New Orleans tomorrow, and that heat expands into the holiday weekend. We could see 90s coast to coast in some of the major cities through the 4th of July. Tom?
Okay, we'll stay tracking that weather through the week. Rob, thank you. A dramatic building collapse late tonight in New York City. Take a look. Authorities say the three-story building in Brooklyn was under construction when it came down. Firefighters and police combing through the debris. Tonight, they say all workers have been accounted for and the site cleared amid fears of a second collapse. The new study about face masks catching our attention today. Researchers at Florida Atlantic University creating this animation showing the effectiveness of different types of masks. They used a mannequin to simulate coughing or sneezing and a laser to detect how far the droplets travel, 8 feet with no mask. They tested several kinds of masks, a single layer bandana, the droplets went 3.5 feet, an over-the-counter cone-shaped mask about 8 inches, and the homemade two-layer quilting cotton mask, the best one so far, only 2.5 inches. And the wedding photos one California couple will never forget. The bride and groom taking pictures in their wedding outfits on the rocks in Orange County when the surf washed them into the ocean. Lifeguards coming to the rescue. The bride, you see her here, pulled to safety in her wedding dress. Finally tonight, America Strong, the UPS man on the receiving end of a special delivery. For 30 years, Gregory Watkins has been working for UPS, driving the same route in Smithtown, New York, on Long Island for the past 13.
I like what I do, and just being in that area and knowing so many people in that area, it just makes everything great for me.
For months now, Gregory, a father of four, has been working longer hours, picking up extra shifts to help out during the COVID-19 pandemic. Those that live on his route started to notice.
He was, you know, working later hours, 6 days a week. Just being the person that he is and us knowing him for so long, we just wanted to do something to give back.
So they did, planning a surprise, sending a text message asking Gregory if he could help out one of the neighbors.
I was going down the street, you know, I saw the cars in a line and figuring, am I going to be able to get my truck through there?
But when he arrived,
Greg,
I looked and I was just like, oh my goodness, this is for me.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you.
Those neighbors honoring Gregory.
I'm blessed to know each and every one of you. Blessed. And just thank you so much.
I just felt loved. I felt cared for. I felt appreciated. I was definitely humbled by the whole situation. Just to think that, you know, they did that for me. It's an awesome feeling.
And tonight, Gregory's message back to his community.
And my Smithtown family. Love you guys.
And they love you. Keep it going, Greg. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Tom Yamas. I'll see you right back here tomorrow night. Stay safe. Good night.